Those kids do a great job. Amen. I hope you got the message behind those songs. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Appreciate everybody who helped out. Sister Heather and Sister Lauren worked hard. Brother Dean did a fine job holding these cards up here. It's a lot harder than it looks. You got to hold them upside right and the right way and stuff like that. But I'm proud of these young people, and I'm so excited to be here today to celebrate our Savior's birth. I was kind of sad this week. I met a young lady and was trying to talk to her about the gospel, and her particular religion that she's part of does not celebrate our Savior's birth, and I thought that was awfully sad. I said, so you do anything at all? No, we don't do anything with Christmas at all. I said, well, what about Easter? She said, well, we remember his death. I said, well, do you celebrate the resurrection? No, we don't celebrate that. We only remember his death. That's awfully sad, isn't it? Because he had to be born to be one of us, to live a sinless life, to die for us. But he didn't stay dead. He conquered death and hell and the grave when he rose again, and we have much to rejoice in. It's not just his death, and we do remember his death, and we commemorate that, and that's important. But praise the Lord that he rose again. And really, Christmas is about this. We've been studying the last few weeks about what real Christmas is really about. It's about this. It's about the fact that God became a man. We sing about the little Christ child. We sing about that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We have those pictures in our mind, and that's all well and good, as long as you remember that that's not just some little baby, that's God who became a man. We have to remember that. It's absolutely critical, because only God could save us. You see, God's always been in the business of bringing light to the darkness. You kind of got a glimpse of that in one of the songs that they sang. You see, in the beginning there was darkness, and God created the light. God spoke, and he made light come into a dark universe. And then we find, if we fast forward, that God created mankind with free will, and so man had the ability to choose whether to serve God or to serve sin. They had that ability, and man chose sin, and so the world was filled with darkness, but God again chose to send light into that darkness, and that's exactly what he did when Christ was born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. Light came into the darkness. And those that sat in darkness in the shadow of death, those Gentiles and around Galilee, they saw the great light that was sprung up, who is Christ, our Savior. And that's what we're here to celebrate today, friends. We live in a sin-cursed, darkened world. Some of you aren't convinced. If you don't believe we live in a sin-cursed and dark world today, I'd encourage you to watch the news tonight. We live in a dark world today. Spiritually, our world is dark. But the glorious gospel, the light of Jesus, is what the world needs today. And I rejoice that I have that light, because God was gracious to me, and he loved me, and he's merciful to me. And I'm excited to have the opportunity to shine that light to others. So if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word this morning. I don't intend to preach too long today. Brother Randy, I don't have any intention of it. But I have a lot of good intentions, like exercising, that I fail at. So we'll see how it goes. But I just want to encourage you from the Word of God today that we see the purpose of Christmas this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth in the account of our Savior's birth. Thank you, Lord, that in spite of our sin, you loved us so much that Jesus came to be one of us, to live better than us, and to die for us. Lord, thank you for your life, your death, and your resurrection. And I pray today, if there is a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, who's never been saved, that today they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust in Jesus with all their heart and call out to you and be saved today. For all who are saved, Lord, help us to rejoice in the salvation you've given us, and help us to have the courage and the boldness and the love for others to go and share with them the glorious gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask it all in his precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to notice very quickly, as we've read these scriptures, we've heard them a lot the last couple of weeks, I'm sure, but I want you to notice verse 15. It says, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And as we see these scriptures today, they're so familiar, but I just want to pull out a few things to encourage you with today. And I would kind of like for us to relive this tonight, or this morning. The fact that we know of the Savior's birth, and so we come. And we come to worship Him and adore Him, and that we would leave here today praising God and glorifying Him and making known abroad the things that we've been told about Jesus. What a great thing for us to have as our service today. We've already experienced some of it. It says that they came with haste, and I know Brother Darrell came in this morning on two wheels because he thought the program started at 10, and they're running a little late, so he already confessed that. You don't need to chide him for it, but some of you came with haste today to hear about Jesus. And we see how they came in, and they saw exactly what the Scriptures said they would see. They saw exactly what the Holy Spirit gave the angel to tell them, what the angel told them they would find. Isn't that awesome? The angel appeared and said, Let me tell you, Christ, the Savior, is born today, and this is what you'll find. You'll find this is your sign, because normally babies aren't born and wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. That's not normal. And so there may have been other babies born that very same night in Bethlehem. There may have been other babies born all around that countryside that very same night, but there was only one who fulfilled the prophecy. There was only one who fulfilled the Scripture. There was only one wrapped in those swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And so there was no doubt when the shepherds came and found the child, they came with haste and they found the child, they bowed down and worshiped and they were amazed at what they had seen and heard. There's something else I want to encourage you with today. Mary, many times we read about Mary, she keeps these things and she ponders them in her heart. I want to encourage you today because I know you got a lot of other stuff going on. How many of you are anxious for me to shut up so you can go somewhere else? Yeah, that's what I thought. Only one honest person in the whole room. Thank you. I appreciate that. He's only honest when it hurts somebody else, though. So, some of you got other stuff to go to. You got family. Some of you got ham waiting on you somewhere, I'm sure. And I can understand your excitement to get out of here and eat ham. But, I get it. We've got other stuff to do. We've got other things. But I want to encourage you, plead with you today, that you ponder these things and keep them in your heart. Listen, we're too quick to move from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. I mean, and that's the way my mind works. Any of you that have had the unfortunate circumstance to work with me or be around me much, my brain doesn't work too good. But when it does work, it's like popcorn. I'm over here, I'm over here, I'm over here, I'm over here. Anybody else like that? I can't get anything done because I'm from one thing to another to another to another. And that's the way my poor little brain works. But I want to encourage you, don't let that happen with Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow's Christmas Day. And we'll fly right on into the new year, and we'll start this whole thing over again. But please don't let it get away from you that you would keep these things and ponder them in your heart. Do you see that? Amen. We need to keep it. We don't need to just let it go and go on to something else. We don't need to walk away from church today and say, "Oh, we had a Savior. He's born. That's great. There's Ham." We don't need to do that. We're like the dog and the squirrel, right? And that's the way we are. But don't do that. Don't do that this Christmas. When you leave here, keep these things in your heart and ponder them as you go through today and tonight and tomorrow and into the new year. And as we start 2018, that we would keep these things in our heart, that we would remember that we have a Savior that was born. Amen. I just want to tell you that Jesus, first of all, was born to fulfill Scripture. We've seen it so many times already. Did you know that hundreds of years before Christ was born, the Word of God told, the Holy Spirit of God moved the prophets, they pinned it down. Hundreds of years before he was born, the Word of God said that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. What is Bethlehem? It's nothing. It's the least among the tribes of Judah. Bethlehem is tiny. It's insignificant. It didn't matter. And yet that's where God said the Messiah would be born, and Jesus was born. And what an amazing thing that God used even Caesar, that he would decree that this census would be taken at exactly the right time, that they had to go up to Bethlehem. They had to go up there. Joseph had to be there for the census, for the taxes to be done. And at exactly that time, she would be ready to bring forth the child Jesus. What an amazing coincidence. No? How about the providence of God? Amen. Not only that he would be born in Bethlehem, but that he would end up in Egypt and have to be called out of Egypt. We find as Herod in his madness sought to murder all of the children born about the time Jesus was, some 2 years old and younger, they were murdered there. And there was a prophecy of that too, that she would cry out in her travail, that she would lose those children. And yet God would lead Joseph and Mary up into Egypt where they would stay and they would be safe and he would be called out of Egypt. Listen, friends, you can't get to this any other way than Jesus is the Christ, the promised one of God. And then he would come back from Egypt, but he wouldn't go to Bethlehem to stay. He would go to Nazareth and be raised up there because the prophecy was given that he would be a Nazarene, not a Nazarite as a Nazarite vow, but a Nazarene, one who grew up in Nazareth. And over and over and over again, we see the prophecies fulfilled. And I think the most important, we studied just a couple of weeks ago. God told the children of David, the tribe of David, the house of David, through the king Ahaz, through Isaiah the prophet, he said that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And the angel came to Joseph. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he was ready to put her away. He wasn't going to do it publicly because he was a just man, but he was privately going to put her away. But the angel came to him and said, "Don't put her away. The child that she's carrying is of the Holy Ghost." And all of this was done that the prophecy would be fulfilled, the scriptures would be fulfilled. Emmanuel, God with us. Friends, Jesus Christ wasn't just a good person. He wasn't just a prophet of God. He wasn't just a great man who did many good works. Jesus Christ is, was, and always will be God. God with us. And if you're like me, you can find it a little confusing trying to work out how he could be God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how they're three in one, and all that's really hard to wrap our minds around. But just understand this. It's what the Bible teaches, number one. And number two, I want you to get this. If Jesus is going to be equal with God, he has to be God. You can't be equal with God and be any less than God. Does everybody see that? Because if he was equal with God but not quite fully God, then he couldn't be God. He couldn't be equal with him. If you're at the same level as God, you have to be God, because there's no one greater than God. And that's astounding. That's amazing. It's awesome. And it's hard for us to understand, but that's exactly what happened. And when the Holy Spirit came on Mary and she carried that child and she gave birth to that child that night, she gave birth to God. And that's hard to understand. It's hard to wrap our minds around, but it's what had to be done because of this. Because he was born not only to fulfill Scripture, he was born to be our Savior. He was born to save us from our sins. When the angel told Joseph in the dream, "You're going to call his name Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. In your bulletin today, you see 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The Apostle Paul said, I want to tell you why Christ came, why Messiah came. He didn't just come to overthrow Rome and set up a kingdom on earth. No, he came to save sinners. And I hate to disagree with Scripture, but if there's one verse I have a hard time with just accepting, I want to argue with Paul, because I think I'm the chief of sinners. I think I'm worse than Paul ever thought about being. But Jesus loved me and gave himself for me anyway. Friends, that's what Christmas is about. Jesus came and he fulfilled more scriptures. Not only did he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. He even called dead people back to life again, but that's not really why he came. He did all of those things simply to demonstrate that he had power from heaven. But his message was never about taking care of our physical ailments. His purpose and his mission was to save our eternal souls. And I want you to understand this today, as kind as I can say it to everybody here, because you all look like wonderful people, but I need you to understand today that you are sinners. People don't like this kind of preaching, I'm told. Other people tell me, I guess. I've even heard of pastors who refuse to preach this kind of thing because they don't want to offend anybody. Well, it's not my purpose to offend you today, but I do want to warn you that you and I and every other person on the planet is born with a sin nature. The first Adam brought a curse into the world that's passed to every person. If you have an earthly father, you have sin-cursed blood flowing through your veins today. But not only that, because some of us, we want to look back and we want to blame Adam, right? And all of the men want to blame Eve because it's really her fault, right? Yeah, you could try that, but it doesn't work. It doesn't hold up to Scripture. Adam was the one that was responsible for all mankind. Pretty heavy weight, wasn't it? And he fell. Not only do we have to deal with that original sin, we have to deal with our personal sin. And I just take a quick poll. How many of you have ever told a lie? Just raise your hand. And if you're not raising your hand, you are? Right? You say, well, that's not that bad. Look around. Everybody else does it, so it's not that big a deal. Did you know the Word of God says that if you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of all? If all you ever did wrong was tell one lie, you would be guilty of sin, and the wages of sin is death. If all you ever did wrong, and you say, man, that's pretty harsh, that's pretty high standards, isn't it? Yeah, it's incredibly high. It's higher than you could ever imagine. We're talking about the standards of a holy, perfect, almighty, all-powerful God. That's the standard, because what we're talking about is trying to get into his kingdom. And none of us measure up. And you say, well, man, that's pretty rough. I don't know if I want to serve a God who would judge me just because I told one sin or one lie. Can we be real? How many of you would admit today that you've done a lot worse than tell one lie? Amen. Me and Brother Steve will. Listen, the reality is, in your heart of hearts today, you know that you're a sinner. Amen. In your heart of hearts today, you know you don't deserve the gift of eternal life. That's why it's a gift. Because we don't deserve it. And we never could earn it, no matter how hard we try. That's a sobering reality for a lot of people in our world today, because they think that they can work and do enough good to earn it. It's impossible. That's why, from the very beginning, though God created everything and it was good, he knew that man would fall. You say, why did he create man in the first place if he knew they would sin? If he knew, listen, God did not create robots to obey his commands without their own will. God created people that he wants to love him of their own free will. That makes sense to you, doesn't it? Listen, if you force someone to love you, is that really love? I mean, if I hold a gun to your head and make you do something, are you really devoted? Are you really care? No, God doesn't want that. God wants us to see his goodness and love and to worship and serve him willingly out of a heart of great gratitude. Everybody get that? So he did create mankind, and he created us with free will. And we very quickly abandoned him, rejected him, and scorned him. And yet, in spite of our great sin, he loved us. And that's why we have Christmas. We have Christmas because he loves us. And so Christ came. God, robed in human flesh. John 1:14 says it like this. The Word that created everything, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he lived a sinless and perfect life. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And then he willingly went to Calvary's cross. Or he allowed those soldiers not only to spit on him and beat him and scourge him and tear the beard from his face, but he allowed them to drive the nails in his hands and his feet. And they hoisted him up in front of that crowd. Naked and bleeding. And he gave up the ghost that day to pay for our sins. You see that? That lowly babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger? He came for one purpose, and that was to die for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. Because those that loved him took him down from that cross. They wrapped him in linen. Much like Mary had wrapped him in those swaddling clothes, they wrapped up his body and they laid it in the tomb. 3 days and three nights went by and he rose from the grave. Somebody once said that Christmas is the promise and Easter is the fulfillment. You see, Christmas, the birth of Christ, came with the promise of a sacrifice for our sins. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Today, there are two types of people in this room right now. We're all sinners. But what separates sinners from sinners is this. There are some in this room this morning who have repented of their sin and their unbelief. They've trusted in Jesus with all their heart. In other words, they've been saved. Jesus would use the term born again. There are many of you here today that at some point in your life, you realized you were a sinner on your way to hell. You prayed and asked the Lord to forgive your sin. You asked him to save you. You trusted in him with all your heart, and he gave you eternal life. There are a lot of you who have been saved that are here this morning. Amen? And some of you can remember that moment. I remember it like it was yesterday. I forget a lot of stuff, but I remember the moment I was saved. I rejoice in the moment I was saved that God gave me eternal life. But there are other sinners in the room today who have not been saved by his amazing grace, and you are yet in your sin. The reality is this morning, if you die in your current condition, you'll end up in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. Friend, I plead with you today. Ponder these things and keep them in your heart. And if you've never been born again, repent of your sin and unbelief and trust in Jesus today. He came to give himself. Jesus is the unspeakable gift. And he offers eternal life. It's not a reward. It is a gift, a free gift. Nothing that you merit, nothing that you earn, nothing that you can keep. Freely given. And hear this. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 19. And then verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. My hope for you today is that you've come and you've seen in the Scriptures Christ the Savior is born, and that you know why He came. And if you're saved, you know what He did for you. And you can go from this place today praising and glorifying God and making known abroad the things that you've heard about Jesus today. What a joy to know that we have a Savior. What a joy to know that though I deserve the lake of fire, I've been given eternal life. What a joy to know that we can go from here rejoicing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we can tell others what Christ has done for them. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing greater than you can do for somebody at Christmas or any other time of the year than to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, He's still in the saving business. There are people in this room today who have been saved for 40 years. Amen? Amen? Amen. I hadn't even been alive 40 years. I love you, Brother Tom. There are people in this building right now who have only been saved a few months. You know what that means? He's still in the saving business today. If you've never trusted Him, I plead with you to trust Him today. We're going to get ready for an invitation. And if you are saved, I want to plead with you today that you would renew your commitment to live for Him. We can live for a lot of things in this life. We can live for our job. We can live for our family. We can live for money. We can live for a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, let me help you out. You really only have two choices. You can live for your Savior, or you can live for yourself. And I plead with you today that you would have a decision in your heart. I want to live for the One who died for me and rose again. If He's convicting your heart about a decision you need to make today, as we stand together, we're going to sing.
Page 558.
Number 558, if the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, you come right now.